Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Writer, thinker, skeptic, David Berlinski is back. His biting defense of religious thought, The Devil's Delusion, is now available in paperback. Berlinski turns the scientific community's cherished skepticism back on itself and exploits the gaping holes in the new atheists' arguments. For more about The Devil's Delusion and Berlinski, visit devilsdelusion.com. Buy your copy today from amazon.com.
In fact, one of the things that I've noticed about this issue of evolution is that the people who want to be reasonable and who want to get along and find common ground, desperately find common ground, are the people who are criticized as creationists, who are not creationists, who are lampooned and attacked and vilified.
I think that's true.
And they're perfectly happy to share forum, debate platforms, and so on. But the other side is the one that's being...
But for a very good reason, if I may interject, a very good reason. It's the other side that's being challenged and threatened. It's always like that. When a dominant position is under attack, they react with indignation and controlled fury. There's nothing unusual about this.
Well, you know the history of science. How common is the phenomenon we're witnessing now?
I think it's very common. It's ubiquitous. It takes place all the time. One of the most moving and instructive examples is not a recent one, but an example that goes back to the very dawn of the modern Western scientific worldview. That is the attempt accurately to map the heavens. Tycho Brahe collects a group of talented young men, and he sets them a simple task. Accurately map the course of the planets in the night sky without a telescope. It's an immensely challenging task, I mean, incredibly complicated. And he's joined by Johannes Kepler, who was a mathematician of genius, just a remarkable intelligence. And he sets Johannes Kepler the same problem, determine the orbit of Mars. Little by little, a view emerges. And Tycho Brahe rejected this view. You've got to remember, he was never persuaded by Copernicus. He had a very elaborate, contrived idea of what the solar system is like. Little by little, a new view comes about. And it has remarkably little observational evidence in its favor. And you've got to imagine all of Europe dominated by Ptolemaic astronomy, which was not a foolish body of doctrine. It was very accurate, very accurate. And all the leading astronomers of Europe were looking at this new stuff and saying to themselves, this is an abomination. This is preposterous. You mean to say that the Earth is in motion? How come we're not falling off? Not a silly question. I mean, all our experience would suggest the Earth in violent revolution would be simply flinging things into space. It took 100 years, 150 years before the final triumph, not merited by the facts by any means, of Copernican astronomy was firmly established in Western Europe.
All the people who initially proposed the concepts were dead.
All dead.
And so a lot of good it did them. This is not a cheerful message you're bringing.
Yeah, it is. It's a moving message. It's moving to the extent that it shows the ultimate domination of deeper ideas than the ideas they replace.
What happened to the people?
You mean the Ptolemaic astronomers? They died
out
too.
No. The innovators.
Well, Tycho Brahe died a disappointed man. Johannes Kepler finished his life, not necessarily because of persecution, but because of difficulties in other respects. He finished his life a poor man and also a disappointed man, but secure in his own genius. Galileo pioneered the new methods of Copernicus. He ran afoul of church authorities in a widely misunderstood episode. And it was not really until Newton, 1685, 1686, that the full glory of this method was apparent. Full power.
And apparent in his case during his lifetime.
Yeah, but look at the difference in the time. 1685, you have to go back to the 15th century for the origins of these ideas. Long time.
Scientists claim today it's all different. We have these wonderful mechanisms in place, such as peer review.
A marvelous mechanism. Right.
Why don't you talk about that? The modern science claims that it has cleared up these problems, that it encourages dissent. In fact, I've heard Richard Dawkins say about how wonderful it is when in science somebody admits that he was wrong and retracts his statements. And that's the litmus test for true science. I've never heard him do that, of course.
No, of course. He's as responsive to criticism as a black hole.
In fact, I've never heard of any of these atheist scientists who are, as you say, militant about it, make such concessions.
But look, even the very greatest of scientists, Einstein, for example, when confronted with really an overwhelming body of evidence that the quantum theory had something to it, Einstein wasn't very willing to acknowledge that he may have been wrong. He was wrong, but he wasn't willing to acknowledge it either. Asking of ordinary scientists who have a living to make, and tenure to protect, and the prestige of their colleagues to elicit, that they behave in a way that was impossible for an Einstein, that's very difficult. This is part of any kind of established church. And then science is, of course, an established church in its own right.
If you enjoyed this interview, be sure to visit devilsdelusion.com, where you can read other interviews with David Berlinski, watch videos, and find out about his upcoming public appearances. The Devil's Delusion is now available in paperback from Amazon.com and bookstores everywhere. Thanks for tuning in to ID the Future. For more podcasts, go to idthefuture.com. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2008. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.